Hi, I'm Rod.
I'm Yasmina. Welcome to Life Trek.
Today we're talking about maintaining your identity. So, and what we mean by that is your individual identity in a relationship or in our marriage, that it's not like you get, two become one in marriage, but it's not like you become one person. And it's important to maintain your identity and to have some individuality to yourself.
What if you have multiple identities?
Then you're in trouble.
Then Gemini.
Then you're super successful, maybe.
Depends on the time of the day.
You're the least Gemini I know, by the way.
What? I'm very easygoing. I'm fun. I'm witty.
No, my mother's also a Gemini.
She's fun. She's witty. We're a little bit have like different personalities.
Yeah, I don't see that in you. In my mother can be like really super giving and very, fun to like go down there and have some lunch and hang out together and stuff like that. But then she can flip and be this other person that, you know.
So am I.
I don't see that. You're so nice.
You're blinded.
I'm blinded by love. I think that allowing each other to develop as individuals allows you to actually be closer. And I think a lot of people I'll just take men for example. A lot of men end up controlling their spouse, not letting them like go get an education or not letting them, do things outside the house or have a big group of friends or whatever. Because they're afraid that their spouse is going to grow away from them. And they end up strangling that relationship.
Because once she gets that education,
once she figures out.
She's like, well, what the heck am I doing here? I know. I've had some caffeine, just FYI.
Just a warning.
Well, some green tea. And I just had a green tea latte. So I will try to stay on track.
So, but the point being that you still need to develop as individuals, and it's important. I mean, the fact that you had a college degree or you were pursuing a college degree when you and I met, I thought was great. And we're looking then to get a job outside the house.
I'm still developing my identity. And I think, and I've spoke to this before with moms in particular, I think it's really hard. It also goes back to, again, how you were raised and that identity, again, culturally, I was given this identity. This is what you shall do. And I also was given those unspoken messages, identity, because I
in
was
Morocco, growing up under a... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And watching women, and even here too, you look around you, you are given what a female should do, and so you spend this whole time trying to figure out, what is your identity, what should I be, especially when you become a mother, because you are now the caregiver, and then as they get older, you're like the cook, the chauffeur, the therapist, you're just juggling all of those different identities. And sometimes I do struggle with that. You're having to shift gears and then be in a meeting, and suddenly you're conducting this meeting where, you can come home and, I see your like very confused look on your face now.
No, keep going. Yeah.
So anyways, my point is I'm still working on that identity, which I think is okay. You can continue to strengthen that identity on who you are as an individual. But I'm just saying to get to that point, that starting point, some of us, for me, it was very confusing on who am I?
Just figuring out who you were in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially if you grew up with one notion of who you were supposed to be. And you also then left Morocco, came to the United States with probably some idealistic notions of who you could be, which maybe weren't realistic.
Yeah, but even if I grew up here, I'm just saying as a female, and again, I can only speak to the females out there and the moms out there, your identity is still, you're still searching for that just because you do play very many roles in a situation as a mom, as a working mom, or even a stay-at-home mom. When I was a stay-at-home mom, I struggled with that a lot because I felt like that's pretty much the was it was like cooking, cleaning, taking care of kids. That was my identity. Mm-hmm. But I wanted something more. It's like trying to, I guess we talk about maintaining your identity, but you know, going back to is finding out kind of who you are. And I still feel like I'm continuing to work on that, but I have come so far, and I know who I am as an individual.
Well, so as long as we're on that, of course, I think we've touched on this before, but there's also those people that put so much of their identity in their kids, so that and speaking from a relationship standpoint for the marriage, they've spent so much of their identity in their kids that by the time their kids grow up, leave house, and move on, what's left? As an individual, it was so tied up in their kids that there's really not much left for themselves or for their husband. Now they're really having an identity crisis because these people that made up their identity before are gone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even then in a relationship too, you know, you talk about couples who, as your identity is as a spouse, mm-hmm. you have certain, I guess, duties or unspoken duties that you maybe that fall into a certain category that you just, you know, you didn't like say, okay, this is the guy does this or the female does this. And then you get, you know, you're divorced. You were trying to figure out again who you are. And I know when the kids were little, I heard this a lot where moms will saying, you know, take time for yourself and or work part time. But I think maintaining, again, going back to maintain your identity, if you don't know what that identity is, it's helpful to start, you know, again, for me, jumping into like things I've done was, I didn't talk about a lot, like weightlifting. You got me into weightlifting. Mm-hmm. And it was such a new thing for me. And it definitely makes me feel so much more empowered. And I love that you're with me at the gym. You help me deadlift, help me bench press. Looking back, I never saw myself as doing that.
Well, and now, I mean, I got you into that, but, and I may help from time to time, like give you pointers, but now sometimes you'll go to the gym by yourself.
Yeah,
you
I was know, over when there. I can't go
and you're lifting yeah, and like doing your thing.
Me yeah. and one other female, and it was just all guys just like doing the bicep curls, 30, 40 pounds. I'm like with my 10 pounds, 15 pounds. But I felt like I belonged there too.
Yeah.
Again, I felt so, you know, as a strong female, that's part of my identity, which I wanted to be that years ago. I just didn't know what that looked like, what that felt like, just because I didn't have, you know, in fact, I showed my mom my biceps the other day. She was pretty impressed.
Nice.
Yeah, I was like, look at my muscles.
That's awesome. Yeah. But I also, so as you're developing your identity or as you're in a relationship, wanting to do whatever you're interested in, assuming that you've got the basics covered, you know, or maybe not even, but that you communicate whatever it is that you need. Mm-hmm. So if you want a college degree, maybe as a woman, you know, your husband who's got a degree, is working a job, you're looking at finishing up raising kids at home and you want to get into the workforce, I'm just using as an example, not that this was you, but, and you wanted to get a degree, communicating that desire, or, hey, I want to take a job at such and such, and communicating that desire needs to happen because your spouse is not a mind reader, right? And your spouse, on the other hand, also should be receptive to that. And realizing that it's not a threat to them that you want to develop. In fact, it makes you more interesting as a human being. All those things that I thought were so cool about you when we first met, and some of it is because you were doing your own thing in the world, I still think are cool.
Yeah, I think because I had the freedom. I finally had this freedom. I could, you know, I took boxing, doing boot camp, and doing all these just different classes. I took rock wall climbing class, mm-hmm. and realized that there's so much I could do. It was the partner that was holding me back.
Your ex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or ex-partner, I should say, holding me back. And yeah, you definitely don't do that. I think the challenges come with, again, I can only speak to the females, is there's this guilt, this mom guilt. And And that's a whole nother podcast on, you know, not only maintain your identity, but, you know, really.
You might need a guest speaker for that one.
I know.
Mom guilt.
Mom guilt, for sure. And because we tend to put ourselves last, because when you do things that's going to better yourself, it's, you have to be selfish. Yeah. You know, you have to go and go to the gym. Like the other day, something super small. I know this sounds really like first world problems. I needed a pedicure. This is where we're at. But even then, I did the gym and I needed to get just some stuff done for myself.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, my child, I can't remember what she said, but you know, she thinks weekends is dedicated for her and mom time.
But, and she does know how to turn the mom guilt thumb screws.
Yeah. Yep. And I was able to go to the gym, do my workout. In fact, I did like an hour and a half workout. I got a pedicure in, I got my car washed. And these are just the little stuff, but of course it doesn't compare to like getting a college degree, but we're so used to doing things for our kids and doing things for our family that if you do things bigger, like getting a college, you know, going to college or taking an extra class at night or something like that, then other people in the family do have to step it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, your spouse might have to, which you're really good at, like make dinner and or pick up the kids from school. But I think a lot of times females put their family first. And then in the end, you know, you either having to, you're just overwhelmed with all the tasks that you have to do. And
but that goes back to communicating your needs too. I mean, like, hey, telling your spouse, like, hey, I need you to do this, like make dinner tonight or pick up the kids or whatever else. And then your spouse being supportive and going, okay, I'm hearing a need there and I've got time. And
you're really good at saying, what do you need my help with? Or how can I help? That definitely makes it easier rather than saying, because again, as for me, it's hard to be like, I need you to do this, I need you to do that, again, because I feel bad.
Yeah.
But it is definitely getting better at communicating, and you're okay with it. And a lot of times you actually have dinner ready, or you just have the kids do the work, empty out the dishwasher. And I do sometimes forget there are other people in this house that could definitely pull that weight,
And I sometimes remind you, like, hey, that's why, like, we have midgets in the house. That's why we have kids in the house.
Little people, small people.
Okay, that's why we have kids in the house to help out and those kinds of things and do all of that. Yeah. So one of the other things too along those lines is being able to value each other's strengths and encourage weaknesses. And this is, again, like you said, you felt really nervous about speaking and talking, even though at work you have
I'm
to do
nervous
that
by nature
a lot. And so you decided to do some self-improvement and go to a Toastmasters course. In fact, you've been to a couple now. I mean, a couple of different whole groups of Toastmaster courses, and one locally and one really large one. And that's awesome that you've been able to do that. You've been able to learn some things and then bring some stuff back to the marriage too. Bring some stuff back to that you and I can talk about. And if I had been the kind of person to stifle that or say, well, you don't really need to do that, or, well, you're going to, you know, hang out with a bunch of guys and blah, 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 you know, it would really hinder you from self-development. You would resent it. And eventually it would cause problems in our marriage. On the other hand, I love to see you grow. I love to see you become a little more confident in your speaking.
A lot more confident.
Yeah. And today you're coming home and just glowing with satisfaction at the meeting you held. That was awesome. It was cool to see.
Yeah. And you've done the same thing. I mean, I know you've got your writer's group, which I should be intimidated because it's all female.
Not now.
Oh, no, you got a guy in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's jokingly, but I'm not at all. And I love that you did that. It's going on like a couple years now, right?
Yeah.
To kind of better yourself, and it's your own thing. Like you, and on the afternoon, you know, and then that's when I know I just take on dinner and get things done. It's great.
And it's fun to share with you some of the stuff from that too, and those different experiences that we have help color our own relationship with each other, you know, as we learn from each other or we hear stories about each other. I find you really interesting, and I could kill that easily if I was a controlling husband.
Yeah, because for a while I was doing Toastmasters in the evening. I'd come home from work and turn right around, and it was like from 6 to 7:30, you know, once a week that I was doing it, but it was something that I needed to do and practice.
Yeah, and I could see the difference that it made in you. It was really cool. To that end, too, being able to share dreams or share your heartaches or burdens or intimacy or all those other kinds of things is really important, and it involves some risk. Like, hey, you know, I want to take this course, or I want to go do this thing, or you know, get involved in this sport or whatever. Maybe I've always felt weak, and so I want to learn how to lift weights or whatever. Being able to allow each other to develop, you know, I have a motorcycle and you hate motorcycles, but you've never told me I can't have a motorcycle. That was my thing, and you let me have my thing.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you enjoy something, you know, to me, to see you happy, you know, like I think that's part of, then it makes me happy.
And I was pleasantly surprised when I really enjoy watching the UFC fights. And I was talking about going out with a friend and watching the fights, or having them over here and watching them, and you're like, well, I'll go with you. Which I actually love. I love having you along with me and watching the fights, even though it's not your thing.
That's free food.
It's free food,
No, but
yeah. And
yeah, and I like it. I'm
you're a great
quality.
date too.
I'm quality time, so I like to do things like that, and I think it's really important to, and you know, because we were single for a while, and I think that's where I really found my identity and wanting to maintain my identity. And people do say, you know, when you get out of relationship, you know, to date yourself and take some time, at least a year, to kind of get to know yourself, which I think is really true.
And nobody ever does it.
I know they
Like,
jump right
right
in,
into other
which I mean, I'm
relationships.
guilty too in the beginning. But once you start dating and then you realize, okay, maybe I do need to take a break. It's like crazies after crazies.
And you end up picking, if you jump right back into it too, you end up picking the same person you just got out of a
Just
relationship
looks a
with.
little different, but you're like, there's a common theme here. And I started really taking care of my, you know, doing things for myself, which was just, I had never done before. And I loved it. And I know that you and I had conversations prior to when we were dating. And that was my biggest fear, was to get with someone who was going to control my behaviors and control who I was going to go with.
I
And
remember you saying something along the lines of, you know, I don't want somebody telling me what to do,
I
basically,
still don't
or
like people telling me what to do. But yeah, I don't like that controlling behavior that you see in both men and women. I've seen relationships where even the female, you know, is more controlling than she has to be in those types of relationships. And so I think that this is definitely a first time for me where I can, again, maintain my identity, be who I am, but yet still grow, because I feel like there's so much that I want to do, so much I want to travel and see the world, and you don't hold me back on that.
No, in fact, I want to join you on that. I want to do a lot of those kinds of things, and we both have shared dreams that that we are both interested. You have talked about wanting to live closer to family in Morocco and everything, and we still have kids in school here in the States, but at some point, maybe we'll move to southern Spain or Portugal, or at least maintain a place there. And while we've done a lot of dreaming about it, as time goes on, those dreams are getting more and more concrete.
Yeah, and just being open to the ideas, like having those open discussions on the possibilities, is what I think as a couple you're able to kind of, again, grow together and maintain that relationship, which again you do, and I always compliment you and that you do that, because I'm definitely not only a dreamer, but I'm kind of a doer. If I want something, I want to go after it. And for so many years, I've been restricted in doing so. I think a lot of times too, is that I've seen growing up in a culture where it is more male dominating. And I've seen this in non-Arab, non-Muslim relationships as well, is that, again, you know, as a female, you get to be a certain age and now you're just kind of stuck in this rut. Mm-hmm. And so even if it's just something, it doesn't have to be like life-changing and going out and getting your, you know, and I go back to a degree because that's kind of what I've always wanted to get. And for me, knowledge is power. And so it could even be, you know, starting a sewing class, and it's just something that you get to do that you've wanted always to do, and that becomes just yours. It's kind of your thing. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's what Toastmasters was for me. It was just my thing that I got to do and work on it, and my activity by myself. And then there's also, you know, of course, working out together that we've done together as a couple. But is just, again, focusing on yourself. It doesn't have to be huge. It could be, you know, just something small.
Right.
Trying something different, getting out of your comfort zone. Just starting small.
Yeah, and that's a big one too, is I think even with our kids being saying a lot, I noticed, get out of your comfort zone. You know, do the next thing, do the hard thing, do something that's going to put you in an uncomfortable space. And that is a whole nother topic, but at the same time, I think that for relationships, that adds some spice to things. Mm-hmm. When you get to do things that are different, that are your own, then I do things that are the same, and then we get to share those experiences with each other, that only makes you a more interesting person.
Yeah.
And like, it then becomes more like I'm dating somebody that is an individual that is interesting, that I'm constantly enamored by, because you're you, for one. But
again, blinded by love.
but two, because you remain interesting. And I've seen relationships where the one or both of the spouses are really doing nothing outside of the time they spend with each other, or they're just stuck in the same rut doing the same thing all the time. They lose all kinds of interest. And this is when affairs happen and things like that, because they're just stuck in this rut mm-hmm. that they never get out of. And I certainly, that's not how I want to live. And I don't really think that's really how anybody wants to live. It's just that they get ruled by their fears of, you know, trying new things themselves, or allowing their spouse to try new things without understanding that that's actually going to be better for you than worse.
I think you get stuck in, like, again, what society expectations, again, depending, I know I always bring the cultural aspect of it because mm-hmm. I want it to be as inclusive as possible, but you know, what society expectations, and you, again, as a female, the mom guilt for sure is just definitely there. And it's, I think it's even harder nowadays too, when you're working, you're raising kids and all of that, it definitely can be challenging. So, I mean, we talked about your writing group, and I know with my Toastmasters and stuff, I feel like I've done pretty consistent, I would say, my identity, but mm-hmm. I feel like I've changed so much from the person I was 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. And I know we talk about that, we're pretty consistent, but for you, I mean, is there anything that you just started to do drastically? Cause like for me, I like got a college degree, like became a US citizen. there's yeah. so many changes were happening. Got a job, no longer a stay at home mom. I joke that I should be become a stay at home mom. For you, what have you done, I guess, other than the writers group, and I know you've done a lot, but what is one thing that has got you to like really shift your, helped you with your identity?
With my identity, I'm not exactly sure. So I will say long before you and I met, and after my previous divorce, one thing that I noticed is that some things that I had let go for so long that I had just kind of accepted in that relationship and bit my tongue about or whatever, that I realized, and this is from taking some time off, and some dating I did, I kind of saw this replay a little bit and realized, nope, I'm no longer going to live that way. I'm no longer okay with being treated, you know, this way or allowing this kind of behavior, you know, at my expense kind of things. So there were some things where I started establishing some boundaries for what I would and would not allow in my life, and the kind of person that I decided to spend time with and all of that. So that did give me some more, I don't know if it's more confidence or just I think establishing boundaries for what I was going to allow and what I thought I was going to be happy with. And you check all those blocks, so that's good. but I that was a really big one, I think, for me, is establishing boundaries. And then two, I knew that I was somebody that was motivated by doing the right thing, whatever it is. And that's something that at the time I realized that about myself is what motivates me, individually as a person and then in relationships, was I have to feel like whatever it is that I'm doing, I have to do the right thing. And otherwise, I just can't look at myself in the mirror. I don't care really what anybody else thinks. I never really have. But I definitely care that I feel like I'm doing what I believe to be right.
Yeah.
And so taking those then forward, and I have studied or looked, you know, read about or all those kinds of things like stoicism and a lot of principles out of that that I really like that I've incorporated into my thinking and how I interact with the world around me. At the time too, again, before you and I met, that's when my friend who had a motorcycle wanted me to start riding with him, and I went out and got a motorcycle. You know, I'm looking at selling my motorcycle now. I had it for a few years. I'm good with it. I think I'm done with that period, but it was fun, you know, and just being at that point in my life where I could do that if I wanted, and I'd saved my money and was able to do it, and that was nice. That was freeing in a way, and now I have other goals and other things I want to do and all, but I guess those are.
And I think that's, again, that freedom. And I'm right with you on establishing those boundaries. I definitely learned from you because I didn't have any boundaries. And years ago, I remember I was watching a TV show, talk show, because I had a lot of time on my hands. And the person had asked, you know, the other person, well, what is your boundary? And that was a cue for me realizing I don't have a boundary, like the line.
What are those?
Yeah. And, you know, again, I think that goes back to maintaining that identity of the interactions you have with people. And so being single and I was renting out those rooms, again, my identity before, which I still am now, was very nurturing. Like I like to give. It's hard for me to say no. And so, unfortunately, people take advantage of that and just, you know, take. And so I think when I was renting out those apartments or my rooms, I was not really a business person per se. I wouldn't consider myself being direct, but the experience over the years and a lot of lessons learned, I learned to be more direct, and I could still be nice. I was a very giving person. But I learned, in order to help myself and make sure everyone is safe, that I need to have clear boundaries, clear rules. Yeah. And it's easier for everyone. And so I would consider myself now, again, very direct, but also nurturing, still being very nice. Because I just always associated being direct was like rude.
Yeah. But clearly stating what you need. What the boundaries are.
Yeah, I guess going back to communicating. So one of the main thing that you addressed in the beginning was communicating. It's easier said than done. I think it takes practice. and communicating to your spouse, communicating to your children. I know even early on when the kids were little, I remember reading books about parenting. It was, you tell your kids, I need you to do X, Y, and Z. It's clear statements.
Right.
From, and we still have those right now.
Not the passive aggressive ones where mommy would certainly like it if you would
do it. And we still have that right now too. Like earlier today, I'd asked a child to, you know, to wrap up and meet me downstairs. And you were like, no, you need to be a little bit more clear with that. So I guess, not I guess, but just being more clear in your communication.
Yeah. Yeah. Without being a jerk about it, you know. But being very clear, you know, I don't need, like I came up and talked to our child and said, you need to go downstairs right now. Your mom needs to talk to you. You know,
and poof, they appeared.
But I didn't come upstairs and say, get your butt downstairs,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, how many times do I have to tell you?
Yeah,
I know,
exactly.
You see the parents and it's just, yeah.
No. Yeah. Well, it looks like we're out of time, but this has been good.
So thank you all for joining us, and we hope you got something out of this talk.
Yeah, something that you can take on your life trek.